إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، وقال تعالى: وهديناه النجدين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear brothers and elders, it's good to be back again in Hyderabad and to be back again in our masjid, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this masjid and the people in it from all forms of tests and fitan, and keep us in a state where He is pleased with us, inshallah. The topic of today's khutbah is two lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave mankind two lives, one with which ends with death, another which begins with death, one which is limited, another which is unlimited, one which is temporary, another which is permanent, one in which we have limited control, another over which we have total control, one in which we are accountable, another in which we will be paid according to that account, one in which you sow, another in which you harvest. One is the life of this dunya, the other is the life of the akhirah. This means that the dunya, this world and our life in it, and the akhirah are not two separate things, but a continuous process whose beginning is dunya and the end akhirah. The relation between the two is the same as between cultivation and crop, as between an investment portfolio and its capitalization, as between your retirement plan and its enjoyment. We plow the land, then sow the seeds, then irrigate, then look after the field till such time as the crop is ready. Then after reaping it, harvesting the crop, we feed ourselves with it comfortably throughout the year. We will naturally reap whatever we have cultivated in the land. If we sow wheat, only wheat will grow. If we sow thorns, only thorns will grow. If nothing is sown, nothing will grow. Whatever mistakes and errors are committed by us in the course of plowing, sowing, irrigating, and looking after the field and the crop, the cumulative effect will become visible at the time of harvesting the crop. But if we carried out all the necessary things properly without any mistakes, we will see the benefit of that also at the time of harvesting. This is exactly the position in respect of this world and the akhirah. My brothers and sisters, the world is like a ground for tillage. Man has been sent into this field for the purpose of raising a crop for himself with his own efforts and hard work. He has been allotted time to do this task from his birth till his death. Whatever type of crop he has grown during this period, he will reap the same crop in his next life beyond the grave, and the produce will be his provision for the akhirah. Rasulullah used to make this dua where he said, "O Allah, show me things as they really are." We ask this dua for ourselves because only then can we understand where the reality and where the really important things are. My brothers and sisters, everything has a purpose of creation and is considered successful only when it fulfills that purpose. Even if something is used for a purpose other than its purpose of creation, it will not be judged as successful based on the alternate use, but on the purpose for which it was created. To give you an example, one of the very creative uses of washing machines in Hyderabad is in the production of Haleem. They use industrial washing machines to mix Haleem. It's easier than getting people to do it, cheaper, it's done more efficiently, and results in greater profits. But if you were judging washing machines, you would not judge them on whether they mix Haleem properly or not, but on whether they wash clothes properly or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what the purpose of our creation is, and He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. Which means, and I created not the jinn and the humans except that they should worship me. And I do not seek any provision from them, nor do I ask that they should feed me. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all provider, the owner of power and most strong. About our sustenance, He Jalla Jalaluhu said to us, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. In the heavens is your provision, is your risk, and that which you are promised. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated this and took an oath by himself, and he said, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by the Rabb of the heavens and the earth. Allah is taking an oath by himself. There is no oath that can be more powerful than the oath of the Rabb by himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then by the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, this is the truth. What is the truth? وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. This is the truth that is promised to you, just as it is the truth that you can speak to one another. Allah gave us an example that we notice or should notice on a daily basis. It's a beautiful story related to these ayat of Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi alayh, one of the great imams of the Summa, somebody who is on the same level as the Aima Arba, as the Imams Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi majma'in. Imam Al-Awza'i was an imam like that, with his own fiqh and so on and so forth. It's called the Zahiri fiqh. And today, even today, his fatawa and his rulings are taken by many schools. Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi says that he was traveling, he was going for Umrah in a caravan, when they were waylaid by a band of highway robbers. And they were looted. And some people were injured, maybe somebody was killed. And in all that confusion and in all that terror, Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, suddenly I found myself standing face to face with the leader, with the head of that gang. And he said, this man was standing, came to me, standing in front of me with a naked sword in his hand. And he asked me, who are you? Who are you? So Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi didn't tell him, I'm a faqih, I'm a mufti, I'm an imam. He said, I teach children Quran. I'm a teacher of Quran. So the man said, you are a teacher of Quran? Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, yes. The man said, then recite some Quran for me. That robber is also a Muslim. So he said, recite some Quran. So Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi recited one ayat of this ayat, which is of Surah Az-Zariyat, where he said, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. Imam Al-Awza'i says the man heard this recitation. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. The man heard this ayah and he started shivering. His sword fell from his hand. And he said to Imam Al-Awza'i, this is Quran? Imam Al-Awza'i said, yes. He said, this is what Allah said? That my risk is in the heavens? Imam Al-Awza'i said, yes. He said, then why am I doing this? Why am I committing haram? Why am I looting people? Imam Al-Awza'i said, then he turned around and he called his people and he said, give back everything that you took from these people. And he said, I make tawbah, I will not do this work again. Just one ayah, recited once. The man heard it only once. This is the power of the recitation of the one who lives by the Quran. And this is the power of the qalb of the one who receives the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us among them. The robbers left and went away. Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi says, we thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for delivering us from this terrible calamity. And we proceeded to Makkah. He said, I made Umrah, I finished. And he said, one day after that, I was making tawaf and I heard somebody weeping. And Ajib, the description, Al-Azai says, I heard somebody weeping and the sound was like the weeping of a mother whose newborn baby was torn out of her arms, the throat was slit and the baby was given back to the mother. Imagine that situation. May Allah protect us. He said, if the baby is taken from her, the throat is cut and the dead body of the baby bleeding is given back to the mother, how will she cry? He said, that was the kind of weeping. So Imam Al-Awza'i said, I was so disturbed by this weeping that I went to look for the person, and who does he find? He finds this leader of the robbers. He's sitting there making dua and crying like this. So Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah alayhi said, I recited for him the next ayat of Surah Az-Zariyat. He had recited for him, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدْهُونَ. He said, when I saw him weeping there in the mataf in front of the Kaaba, he said, I recited for him the next ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ. Verily this is true, Allah is taking an oath, by the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, this is true, just like you and me talking is true. Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah says, the man stopped crying. He turned to me and he said, Allah takes an oath to convince me. He said, why does my Rabb have to take an oath? Why does my Rabb have to take an oath to convince me? He said, who am I? Why does my Rabb have to take an oath to convince me? Who is saying this? Not the Mufti, not the Imam of the Haram, one Jahil robber. Imam Al-Awza'i says, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says the man was a Jahil. So he did not have convoluted arguments to understand. He reacted to the Quran like Allah is talking to him. May Allah make us jahilun like this, where we react to the kalam of Allah as if Allah is talking to us, because Allah is talking to us. My brothers and sisters, two lives, one temporary, one permanent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and in this story we understand the importance not of what Allah told us, but the importance of believing what Allah told us. So the key is to believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. I know we all do that academically, but that's not enough. It's only when we believe it viscerally, intrinsically, deep down in the core of our beings, and then we act on it, that the results manifest themselves in terms of peace of mind, of tawakkul on the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It is only when we believe in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and we act on this belief that we see the reality of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when he said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجَهُ وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for him out of every difficulty, and he will provide him from sources that he could not imagine. And whoever puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us guidance about the best actions which help us to fulfill the reason he created us, as well as to do great things for ourselves in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't compel us to do one thing or another, but gave us choice to choose what actions we want to do, each of which has an effect. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, and we have shown him the two ways, the road to success and the road to failure. And the choice has been left to us, which one we want to choose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send us with anything material. And we cannot take anything material with us when we go from one life to another. He, Jalla Jalaluhu, gave us the life of the dunya to build the life of the akhirah. For that He gave us the ability to choose and make effort about which He will question us. For example, Allah will question us about the effort we made to accumulate wealth, not about how much wealth we accumulated. Allah will ask us where we earned our wealth and where we chose to spend that wealth. Did we earn halal and did we spend halal? Or did we earn haram and spend haram? Allah will not ask us how much did we earn, because that Allah has written for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us with abilities to act and judgment about what to do in this life. And He called this the real test for which He created the cycle of death and life. Death is mentioned first because we, as before we came into being, we were in a state of nothingness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبُلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah is the one who has created death and life, that He may test you which of you is best indeed. And He is the Almighty and oft forgiving. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the test is to see who does the best deeds, not who accumulates the most material. Both of these lives are linked. As I mentioned earlier, success in one is success in the other. Firaun and Qarun failed in the Akhirah and also destroyed their dunya. Yusuf alayhi salam chose the prison over disobeying Allah, so his Akhirah was made and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him dunya as well. This is the big trap of shaitan, that shaitan tries to convince us, and may Allah forgive us, we get convinced, that if you work on your Akhirah, your dunya will be spoilt. This is the trap of shaitan. Success in dunya is success in the Akhirah. If you work on the Akhirah, the dunya will be made, it will not be spoilt. But if you work on the dunya at the expense of the Akhirah, then your Akhirah will be spoilt and your dunya will also be ruined. Make no mistake about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the examples and stories in the Kalam, in His Kalam in the Quran, not for our entertainment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us examples. Who was more powerful than Ramesses the Fourth? The Firaun, the Pharaoh of the upper and the lower kingdoms of the Nile. Who had more wealth, who had more power in the world of the time? What happened to him? Completely destroyed. Who had more money than Qarun? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that the keys of his treasures, it took a whole jamaat, it took a whole group of people just to lift the keys. What happened to him? What about Shaddad or Haman? What about the king of Babylon, Namrud, at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam? And what about Yusuf alayhi salam? Thrown into a well by his own brothers to kill him, sold in the as a slave in the marketplace, and then imprisoned, all because he did not agree to do something which was haram. What about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, who succeeded in the Akhirah and are the most honorable in the dunya also? Which Muslim who has any knowledge and any ghira will take the name of a Sahabi without saying radiallahu anhu or radiallahu anha? Which Muslim who has any knowledge and any ghira will take the name of a Nabi without saying alayhi salam? Which Muslim who has any knowledge and any ghira will take the name of Muhammad Rasulullah without saying sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? The people who take the names of the Sahaba, and who take the names of the Anbiya, and who take the names name also of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without adding what is their right, it's not our favor. It is their right that they should be addressed with respect, without saying radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anha, without saying alayhi salam, without saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are demonstrating their complete lack of knowledge, their ignorance, and their complete lack of ghira. Allah gave this honor. Allah gave this honor. And this will continue as long as there are Muslims and as long as Allah keeps this world. Why? Because those people gave precedence to their akhirah over their dunya. My brothers and sisters, Allah's decisions are made on the basis of amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions are made on the basis of our deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas liyuziqahum ba'da alladhi amilu la'allahum yarji'un." In Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the fasad, the trials and tribulations and fitan, which are on the seas and the world and the earth, are the result of the amal, are the result of the deeds that come out, bima kasabat aydin nas, that men and people earn these deeds with their own hands. And why do these deeds create these negative effects? لِيُذِقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah says, so that we can give them a taste of the punishment that awaits them if they do not return to us, so that they may return to us. The punishment that comes as a result of our evil deeds in this dunya is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not punishment. It is the slap on the wrist which saves you from hanging in the gallows. It's the slap on the wrist. It is the warning sign which saves you and me from a punishment from which there is no return. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah said, we give them a taste of a small punishment before the big punishment, so that they may turn towards us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make tawbah. Make tawbah right now, don't wait, because we do not know whether another breath is distant for us. Make tawbah, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change yourselves, and I remind myself to change myself. Identify what needs to be changed and change it. If you are dealing in this dunya at the expense of the akhirah, believe me, it's an extremely expensive proposition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those short-sighted ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people of the dunya, the short-sighted people who ask for the dunya, because Allah's decisions are based on amal, on deeds, not on the basis of mal, not on the basis of wealth. But mankind spoils amal to accumulate mal. We spoil our deeds to accumulate wealth. About such people who choose the dunya over the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those are they who have bought the life of this world at the cost of the akhirah. These are the people who build businesses taking interest-based loans. These are the people who build houses taking interest-based loans and then write, هَذَا بِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Whereas هذا عذاب من الرب. You think if you write هذا من فضل ربي, it negates the fact that you bought the enmity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are the people who spend money to do haram, to indulge in haram, to become members of places where haram is committed as a part of the constitution of the establishment of that institution. Go and read. You are buying the dunya for the akhirah. And what did Allah say about that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are those who bought the life of this world at the cost of the akhirah. Their torment, their punishment will not be lightened, nor will they be helped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these short-sighted people ask only for the dunya. And he said, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Allah said, but of mankind there are some who say, oh Rabb, give us this dunya. Give us your bounties in this dunya. And Allah is saying, for such, there will be nothing in the hereafter. There will be no portion in the hereafter. May Allah save us from being among such people. And about those who understand the reality of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And Allah said, and of them and among them there are those who say, oh our Rabb, give us in this world that which is good, and in the Akhirah that which is good, and save us from the torment of the fire. I make this dua for myself and all of you. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to take account of the amal that you earn, just like you take account of the mal that you earn. Amal are the real wealth that will go with us into our graves, whereas all our material wealth will stay behind. They will even take away the clothes we wear. They will remove any jewelry that may be on our bodies. They will remove every single thing. And they will wrap us in a sheet of cloth and put us into the ground. Not even the clothes we wear will go with us. Forget about houses and cars and... Everything will be taken away. All our material wealth will stay behind. The only thing that will go with us is our amal. And that is the reason it is the height of foolishness to buy what is temporary in exchange for that which is permanent. To do things that give temporary pleasure but destroy permanent happiness. To make bargains where we give up real wealth for the images of wealth. If someone paid cash to buy pictures of buildings, saying this is my real estate portfolio, picture of the Empire State Building, picture of this and that, and he says, I own this building. Where is the building? Where are the papers? You see, I have the photo of the building. I paid money for it. I paid $1 million for a picture of the Empire State Building. If someone bought pictures of buildings and gold and silver and cars and planes and he calls it his wealth, what would you call that person? You would say he's insane. He's crazy. But believe me, it is even more crazy to give up real wealth, which are the amal, which are the opportunities to please Allah, and instead to indulge in things that displease him. Is this intelligence? Is it intelligence to do this? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about such people and about their fate. When they are thrown into the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, every time a group is thrown into the hellfire, the angel, the malak, who is in charge of the fire, they will ask, those angels will ask, Alam ya'tikum nazir? Did no one come to warn you? And Allah says that they will say, the people themselves will say, قَالُوا بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. They will say, no, of course, indeed a warner came to us, but we belied the warner, we denied the warner. We told the warner, you are a liar. Nothing has been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are in great error. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ وَعُنَاقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُوقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the same people, they will say, a warner came but we belied him. And they will accept and they will say, and if we had only listened, and if we had any intelligence. Who are the people? These are the same cool people you follow today. The people who you think are intelligent. The people who give you fatawa against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you follow them because you like those fatawa. They say, no, this is jais, no problem. With me is jais. With you is jais. Since when are you Allah? If Allah prohibited something and you say, for me it is jais, you are standing in opposition to Allah as another God. How do you make jaiz what Allah has made haram? How do you make haram what Allah has made jaiz? But you follow them. Because you want it to become jaiz. And you think that because this man says it or this woman says it, it is jaiz. No problem. No problem. On the day of judgment, those people and those who follow them will fa'tarafu bi dhanbihim. They will make a'tiraf of their sin. They will accept their sin. But what is the result of that? Allah said, فَسُقَلْ لِيَسْحَابِ السَّهِيرِ. My translation of that is, go to hell. That is what it means. فَسُقَلْ لِيَسْحَابِ السَّهِيرِ. Off with the people of the fire. What does it mean? It means go to hell. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ. Verily those who have khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they cannot see Him. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. For them there is maghfirah. And for them there is great ajr. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those. Leave those friends of yours. They are the most foolish of people. They are the most ignorant of people who are guiding you to a path that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave them or be prepared to be with them on the day of judgment. My brothers and sisters, let us indeed assure ourselves that we are intelligent. And let us be among the intelligent who do not sell the valuable in exchange for the expensive. There's a difference between that which is valuable and that which is expensive. And that's why Akbar Allahabadi said, Dunya mein hoon, dunya ka talabgar nahi hoon, bazaar se guzra hoon, kharidar nahi hoon. He said, Dunya ka hoon. دنیا میں ہوں دنیا کا طلبگار نہیں ہوں بازار سے گزرا ہوں خریدار نہیں ہوں. He said, I am from this world, but I don't desire this world. He said, I am only passing through the market. I am not a buyer. This is a translation and it's a good indicator of how translations ruin the poetry. There's no conflict between deen and dunya. Please understand this very clearly. There is no conflict between deen and dunya. Dunya is not the opposite of deen. Deen is the way to live in the dunya. There is no deen after death. So there is no friction or contradiction between the two. On the contrary, you can only attain excellence in deen through excellence in dunya. Sadly, people don't see this and they preach the opposite, which is really a confusion with Hindu theology. Sannyas, leaving the dunya for spiritual growth. There is no sannyas in Islam. Rasulullah said, La ruhbaniya fil Islam. He said, there is no asceticism. There is no sannyas in Islam. We attain spiritual growth by living in this dunya, not by leaving the dunya. Love of dunya that people talk about has nothing to do with wealth. It has to do with the love of wealth to the exclusion of the love of Allah. A beggar in the street is not the most spiritual of beings. As a matter of fact, he may actually be less spiritual than someone who has a lot of wealth but is focused on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is on charity. The beggar loves what little he has and believes that he has to beg all day so much that he does not even bother to pray. When did you ever see a beggar praying? Even when they all go to the masjid for Jummah to beg. So though he is a Muslim, he doesn't beg Allah, but he begs the makhluk. Ask how many of us are similar to that beggar in our own way, even though we don't beg in the street. How many of us beg people and we do not beg Allah? How many of us sacrifice our meeting with Allah for the sake of a business meeting? How many of us are beggars, just like that beggar in the street, except that we are not in the street? My brothers and sisters, so the love of the dunya has nothing to do with how much of it you have. It has to do with how much you love it in relation to how much you love Allah. As long as you love Allah more, you can be the king of the world, but the dunya will not distract you from deen. as was the case with Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood alayhi salam, as was the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. There are so many stories in the seerah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala someday for us to sit together and talk about that. And I'm not going to mention the stories now for want of time. So there is no friction between dunya and deen. Both are intrinsically linked and completely indispensable for success in each other. Secondly, dunya is the only way that we will attain perfection in the akhirah. Dunya is the only way to attain jannah. You don't earn jannah by leaving the dunya, but by using the dunya. It's like telling someone in a car, the best way to reach your destination is to get out of your car and walk. You may still get to your destination, but you will get there very slowly and with great difficulty. But if you remained in your car, and if you drove on the right path, you would get there much faster and much more comfortably. This is what the Sahaba did. They had the best of both worlds. The problem is that people only tell you stories of the Sahaba in the days of the inception of Islam. Stories of deprivation and struggle. Not the stories of how they handled dunya when the conquest started and there was literally money to burn. Did they fall into evil? Did they forget Allah? Did they leave Salah? And did they sit in their shops? Or in their clubs? Did they even have clubs? Or did they establish Islam on the face of the earth? Which did they do? Dunya lived according to the deen is ibadah. It is deen itself. It is the reason for the deen. If this dunya didn't exist, there would be no need for deen. To live in this dunya according to the deen is the most powerful way to do da'wah. Dunya is the way to attain the pleasure of Allah. Dunya is the tilth, is the farming, is the tillage for the akhirah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us, how are you going to get a harvest, my brothers and sisters, if you leave the fields fallow? You want a good harvest, you have to spend every waking moment in your fields, plowing and winnowing and planting and watering and praying for success in the harvest. From among the stories of the Sahaba, one of the most powerful stories is the story of Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu and his two companions who did not go with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went on the expedition of Tabuk. They did not go because they wanted to be in haram. No. Their excuses were valid excuses. Their excuses were valid excuses. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with them? They came under the itab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For 50 days they were boycotted. To the point where Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, I wish I could die before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their tawbah and lifted the boycott. Why? Because they chose the dunya over the akhirah. And that is not a choosing of the dunya like we choose the dunya. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, these were people who were trained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not talking about how we choose dunya. But in that, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلَ لَبْ يَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلَ. Between two good deeds, which is the better one? I want to be with my family and relatives, a good deed by itself. But to go with Rasulullah on the expedition is a better deed. I will catch up with Rasulullah. I want to go. I have every intention of going. I will catch up. I just have a few things to finish. Not haram things, halal things. But to leave those halal things and go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is ahsanu amal, ahsan min al amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the results of that, so that we should learn. My brothers and sisters, I say to you and I remind myself, you should love the dunya, but for the right reasons. You should run behind the dunya, but for the right reasons. You should use the dunya in the right way, and then we get the akhirah inshallah. Finally, our most important and our greatest wealth is the kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We have the only thing which will save people from the Jahannam, we Muslims. We have the only thing that spells the difference between everlasting rest and pleasure and everlasting pain and suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this wealth of the kalima of Iman of Islam with a responsibility. As people of wealth, we have a responsibility for those who do not have wealth. What would you say to the one who has food regarding those who are starving? What would you say to the one who has knowledge regarding those who are ignorant? What would you say to the one who has cures, a doctor, regarding those who are sick? What would you say to the one who can see regarding the one who is blind? What would you say to the one who has iman regarding those who don't have iman? What would you say to the one who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu regarding those who do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? It is therefore our responsibility to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his slaves. That is the work of this dunya which has the highest return. Dawah is a work of this dunya. Salah is a work of this dunya. Dua is the asbab, is minal asbab ud dunya. But they earn for us akhirah. This is the concept of ROI, or return on investment, that we use in investment analysis. Invest in that which gives the highest return. Here the returns are the highest and they are guaranteed without any chance of loss. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to understand the reality of this dunya as the greatest opportunity that we will ever have. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every new day of our life that he gives us, and to make the best use of it to earn rewards in the akhirah. To track this as we track our material wealth, because this is our real wealth. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.